Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope.
God bless America. Land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Pastor Wayne has a message that will show us the importance of stewarding our freedom well, of remembering the sacrifices made by those who have gone before, and of being more thankful for all we have been given. It's a message entitled, How to Honor Those Who Have Gone Before Us, and that'll be coming up in just a few minutes. But first, we invite you to join the people of New Hope in a time of worship.
Cause your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder. Nothing has the power to save. So very much that you have called us by your name to be your children. And Lord, we know that you will never let go of our hands. And that's the reason why we can give thanks. In the midst of a rocky terrain, it's not the geography. It's the fact that our hand is going to grip very tightly with yours. And Lord, because of that, we can give thanks. not because we trust in the terrain, but nor do we trust in our own navigational skills, but we trust in you. We give thanks, we can give forgiveness, because we're going to hold on to your hand. That's the key. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, amen. Amen. Thank him, would you? Lord, your name, how grateful we are. Yes, Lord, we're grateful and thankful to you. But before you're seated, would you say hi to a couple of people? Go ahead, turn around, give them a big old bear hug and say, it is an honor to be here with you. Go ahead, greet a couple of people.
In a moment, Pastor Wayne has a message entitled, How to Honor Those Who Have Gone Before Us. Here now is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, How to Honor Those Who Have Gone Before Us.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
I have a dream today. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Tear down this wall. We are in a defining moment in our history.
Good morning, everybody. If this is your first time to New Hope, we want to welcome you. Would you take out your notes with me as we continue in our series called Defining Moments? And today we're going to talk about remembering. Remembering. Now, we often say that word remember. Remember. Remember when? Remember when we used to, and my mother would say when I go to school, remember your lunch, remember your homework, and remember this. Come straight home after school. Every day burned into my mind. But we all need help remembering. How many of you would say, I need some help remembering? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, it's because you're old. But we all need help remembering. And in fact, regardless of what faith you're in, even if you're a Christian or non-Christian, everybody, it's a universal thing. We need help remembering. In fact, this weekend, right down at Ala Moana, there's a big Buddhist thing. It's a lantern lighting ceremony of some kind, and it's to remember their ancestors. Remember the Chinese used to have a little thing called Qingming, which is to remember their ancestors, and they put all kinds of stuff on their graves, you know, food, and we used to watch, because sometimes they put beer. Yeah, full cans of beer. I don't know if the guy was a alcoholic or something, but they put beer, and we go to steal the beer, because the guy's not gonna drink it, you know? But we couldn't, because there was an old Pake man that guarded the graveyard. We called him the Pake Obake. So we couldn't go in, it was just too risky. But you take a look at even in modern day, they have ways of remembering. You have the Vietnam Wall Memorial, or you'll have the 9/11 Memorial. You'll have, sometimes when people gather, a moment of silence in order to help us to remember. Or you'll have on Memorial Day, flags flying at half mast. When you see that, you remember those who have gone before us and the lessons that we should be living in today because of what we're remembering. In the Old Testament, God actually instituted certain festivals. You know why? Because the Israelites were terrible rememberers. They would forget all the time. So God would institute festivals or feast days and say, you will do this forever. Why? Because you need to remember on an annual basis. What happened in the past? No. Who you are today. It's like a rifle. If you remove the rear sight and you just have a front one, you'll be okay in that approximate area. But if you want to get a clear view and an accurate shot for the future, you need a rear sight as well as a front sight. You'll need to have them both lined up. And so God says, remember, remember. For example, one of the feast days was a feast day called Purim, where Esther had actually saved the Israelite people from being annihilated. And then you have another one called Sukkot, or Feast of Booths, where they would actually remember that they were people in the desert, refugees, that they were slaves in Egypt, and God, by a mighty hand, delivered them. They would actually put altars in the wilderness. Why? Why these stones? Here's what it says in Joshua and in Deuteronomy. Because one day your children will ask you in days to come, what do these stones mean? And you'll remember. You'll tell them what it means. Was it for a past event? No, it's for a present identity. And then another one is Passover. They were to do that every year. And then in the New Testament, you have the sacrament of communion. Remember me. We are not the best of rememberers. We all forget. How many of you would say, my memory's bad? Raise your hand. How many? Bad. Yeah. Yeah, we really are. We forget so fast. I'm going to give you a test to see how quickly you forget. Okay? You ready? All right. Got to remember now. Here it is. You got to give me the answer, like, fast. Okay, here it is. Who said, give me liberty or give me death? I just said it. Me. See, within 2 seconds, you forgot already. I just said that. Yeah. But yeah, we forget. It's like these three elderly ladies. First lady said, man, I'm having a terrible time remembering. I'm at the top of the stairs and I can't remember. Did I just come up or am I going down? Another one said, oh, that's not as bad as me. I'm sitting at the edge of my bed and I can't remember. Am I going to bed or did I just get up? And the third one said, oh, thank goodness my memory is good, knock on wood. Oh, hold on, somebody's at the door. This preacher came to this elderly lady and he said, you know, you're getting really old, you can't remember things too well, but you better start thinking about the hereafter. She said, what? The hereafter. Oh, she said, I think about that all the time. So you do? Yeah. When? Well, when I go to the living room, the parlor, the bathroom, I get there and I think, now, what was I hereafter? Remembering. Remember. And God says, bring back to remembrance. When he says, remember me, it's an interesting Greek word. And it's where we get the word amnesia from. But it's actually a Greek word, amemnesis. That A is actually like the word symmetric or asymmetric. It makes it the opposite of. So it's really remember is the opposite of amnesia. Amnesia is what it is. Like you have logical or illogical. That little preface word there makes it the opposite. And so amemnesis is the word to remember. Now, you know what amnesia is. Amnesia is when, you know, you get hit in the head and you wake up in the hospital. There's a woman standing there and you think, I don't remember you. I'm your wife. Oh, I don't remember. I'm sorry. I don't know who you are. You know, I tried that with Anna once. It does not work. Take out the rubbish. Who are you? I don't remember you. Said, no act. Take out the rubbish. You know, so it doesn't work with her. But amnesia, it's the opposite of. And it doesn't mean just to remember. Here it is. It means to remember in such a way that the past becomes the present. That it influences you so much so, not just an event, but an influence to the present. For example, let's say you're with an old friend and he so vividly tells a story of your youth and when you guys did something, so vividly that you're caught up in the story, that the story becomes now. And you relive the sights and the sounds and the smells. That's what the word remember means. It means to bring into present influence something in your past. Now, God is going to put people in your past that'll give you words that'll inspire you, instruct you, and give you wisdom. There's also going to be things in your past that will betray you, that will give you hurt, and that'll give you pain. Now, today, I don't want to talk about remembering as much as I want to talk about remembering correctly. Memory is a gift you must steward. And you can remember wrong things, you can remember right things. Because you see, often we remember what we should forget, and we forget what we should remember. Your memory, and it sounds funny, but your memory needs to be selective. So that those things that inspire you will influence your future, and the things that would demean you will not be something that will distract you. You have to remember well. Certain things will help you if you remember them correctly. And some, if you dwell on, will actually cause your spirit to get septic and toxic. Is it the event? No, it's the way you remember. I want to encourage you to remember well. She was a little second grade girl. She was born with a deformity, a cleft palate. She was rejected by her friends. They all thought she looked funny. And so when they would ask her, "What happened to your lip?" she would say, "I slipped and fell on a piece of glass and it cut me." Because somehow an accident seemed to be more acceptable than being born with a deformity. In her second grade class was a wonderful teacher. Her name was Miss Leonard. Never been married, but she just loved the kids. And she was a sparkling lady. She was as round as she was tall. And all the kids loved her. Now, every year they would have a hearing test. And the way it goes is the little second grader would stand against the door and the teacher at her desk. The child was to cover one ear and the teacher was to whisper a phrase and the child was to repeat it back to her. Such phrases as, "The sky is blue," or "Do you have new shoes?" And the child would have to repeat it. Well, it was her turn, and this little girl stood up against the door. And that day, God must have put 7 words in Miss Leonard's mouth that would change this little girl's life forever. As she stood there with one ear covered, waiting for her, Miss Leonard, to speak a phrase and whisper it to her, Miss Leonard looked at her, and her sparkling eyes gazed at her, and then she whispered these words, "I wish you were my little girl." And this little student didn't know how to answer. And even if she did, she wasn't able to because she began to cry big crocodile tears. So Miss Leonard repeated her phrase, "I wish you were my little girl." That day, that little girl's life changed because she knew that she was loved and that she would be fine. And the rest of her life, she would remember that day. It's like a gift that God deposited into her heart that would help her navigate her future. And God says, remember. I remember when I was just coming out of a rock and roll group. I was 19 years old, just received the Lord, and I was 3 months old as a Christian. Then I went to a Bible college, and I had a New Testament Bible about as thin as this, some that someone given to me. And I went in this Bible college, and because I really felt God was calling me into the ministry, not only 3 months old. And I walked in there, and I thought, man, this place is just with saints and cherubim, seraphim, angels, and pastor's kids. And I thought, what am I doing in this place? Well, it was even more exacerbated and emphasized when in the very first class, the teacher says, and I guess they were going to do a devotion, "Let's all turn to Jeremiah." And I turned around, and I thought, who is Jeremiah? Are you Jeremiah? And a kid in back of me said, "In your Bible, stupid. In your Bible." So all during class, I was looking for Jeremiah in the New Testament. He's not in the New Testament. I was looking for him. I was thinking, you hide really well in here. I know you're in here somewhere. And I never did find it. And when the class was over, they dismissed us, and I was feeling about this tall. And as I walked out, the guy that was behind me looked at me and shook his head. I tell you, I was ready to leave Bible college because I felt so demeaned and condescended. I thought, how stupid I am. The next class was taught by a lady named Grace Flint. And in those days, we called them not Miss or Mr. Professor, we called them Sister. And so her name was Sister Flint. And we gathered together, and I was just feeling so worthless, valueless. And she said, let's share. What is God telling you to be? And what is God putting on your heart to become one day? And what do you think God's calling you to be? And people were sharing. So we all shared. And when it was done, she said, let's all write it in a paragraph. Everybody just write down what you think God is telling you to become one day and what you aspire to be. And so I wrote it down. I said, I don't feel like I'm very worthy of, but I feel God is calling me to ministry, to lead people to Christ, to encourage the saints, to uplift those that are downcast, and to see if I can build more leaders to reach the world. And so I handed that in, but I just didn't want to go back to that college. But the next day, I'll go. And her class is one of the first classes of the day, and I remember sitting in the class, and she handed the papers back, absent of a grade, but present was in red letters, a note to each of the students. And I'll never forget my note. She said, Wayne, I appreciated your insight, and it's so good to have you a part of this class. She said, it's very obvious that God has his hand on you. And then she said this in the last sentence, the kingdom of God has been waiting for you. I think I read that phrase 12 times before I went to bed that night. Again and again and again. It was like water to a thirsty soul. And you know, I'll never forget that day, and I'll never forget her note. It's something that gives me strength for tomorrow. Remember, there's certain things we need to remember, and there's certain things we will need to forget. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the writer is going to list all of these wonderful examples of faith. People like, in that day, Sister Flint or Miss Leonard, but others that are well known in the Bible. And right after he lists these people who are examples of faith that are rooting us on like cheerleaders, that he's saying, don't ever forget who these are now. Remember their words to you, their example, so that you will do better, not for the past memory, but for future identity and lifestyle. Because if you forget, you will tread poorly. If you remember, you will be helped. And so he says this, and let's read it together at the top of our notes. Would you read it with me out of Hebrews 12, verse 1? Go. Since we are surrounded by so many examples of faith, we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially sin that distracts us, and run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up. God is saying there's these people that are like cheerleaders, men and women of faith that God has put in your life, events and people and words and phrases that you must never forget, because they will have been words from God's heart to you so that you'll navigate the currents ahead. Now, but we've got to remember that it's not remember everything. Mm-mm. No, it's remember correctly. Otherwise, you'll remember stuff you should have forgotten, and you'll forget things you should have remembered. So we must learn to remember correctly, or remember well. And when you do, these three things will take place in your life, and it'll help you to remember well so that you can navigate your future. And would you write down number one? Would you write it? And this comes right out of Hebrews 12. It says this, lay aside any behavior that will distract you from God's best.
Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder. There's nothing has the power to save. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like the Lord. Your name.
hug on your way out, would you?
You have just heard part one of a message entitled, How to Honor Those Who Have Gone Before Us, by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.